Hello and welcome to the Tantra for Gay Men podcast, hosted by Jason and Ingo Tantra. Here we're exploring spirituality and personal growth through the practice of Tantra, the body, energy and sex. Hello there, I'm Jason Tantra and welcome to today's podcast. Ingo and I have a fascinating podcast for you where we talk about the Technicolor, living your life in Technicolor through Tantra, how Tantra enables you to live a full, vibrant, juicy, enchanting, mystical, loving, juicy, sexy, erotic, any other descriptive words I can find. Listen all the way through. We start by talking about some of our early experiences in Tantra, and then we talk about how can you achieve these. So listen all of the way through. At the end, we give you some practical ideas of how to manifest and have this experience. Enjoy. Hello, beautiful Ingo.
Hello, Jason.
Here we are, episode 26.
Episode 26.
In our favourite place here on Koh Phangan in
Thailand. In Thailand, palm trees rustling.
Yes.
The sea just 20 metres from us in our winter home.
And talking about our favourite topic.
Tantra.
Which I think has been a real bedrock in our relationship, mm-hmm. hasn't it? It's been like our child. Like, we have parts of us that exist outside of Tantra and Tantra for Gay Men. But it certainly felt
yes.
like a child that we've had for 19 years.
Oh, definitely. It has been, I mean, you and me, we met
yes.
in a Tantra workshop.
Yes.
And we met in a Tantra workshop at a time where I would say it's fair to say that you were like discovering Tantra as the thing that
yeah,
ticked
yeah.
so many boxes for you.
Yes.
And I had the same, you know, the same effect. It ticked so many boxes for me. So it was clear that both you and me, you know, mm-hmm. Tantra would be a huge part of our lives. And then we meet there and then our relationship has been tantric from the beginning.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and what you're saying there, I want to just talk about that a little bit more because that leads in beautifully to our topic mm-hmm. for today. Let's take about the topic and then I want to pick up on what you've said.
Yeah.
So the topic for today is how Tantra transforms your life into full Technicolor.
Yes.
How Tantra transforms your life into full Technicolor. And I remember 19 years ago,
mm-hmm.
could be 1900 years ago, 19 years ago, when I first met Tantra, before I met you, I was so bowled over by my experiences that I couldn't help but not think about how to bring that to other people and mm-hmm. to be in service. And at that time, I'd trained as a psychotherapist. Mm-hmm. I'd worked in an alcohol rehab as a family mm-hmm. therapist. I'd worked in the prison, working with male survivors of rape and abuse. And I think one of the things that brought me to Tantra was about what is beyond psychotherapy as healing, and Tantra presented itself, and as a gay man, the fact that I could suddenly bring my sexuality
mm-hmm.
to my spirituality, because I'd always described myself as a spiritual being. You know, at the age of 14, 15, I used to go to the spiritualist church where I learned everything about energy, everything about Reiki or spiritual healing, as it was called then, everything about mediumship and energy. Then I kind of then moved into the counselling, and then I met Tantra. Tantra then for me changed my life. And I remember being utterly stunned by the experiences I had. And it was like, I remember because I did a lot of my training in Germany with you.
Yes.
And our love kind of was born out of that Tantra.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember certain tantric rituals that we
yes.
shared.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling so in love with you that I felt physically sick. I remember feeling so in love with you that there was one time you weren't there and somebody asked me something and I just burst into floods of tears about the grief of you not being there. And I remember my love at that point, you know, in my talking my early 30s, because I don't think I'd ever been in love with somebody the way that I was in love with you when we first met. Because I think my experience of love before in my previous long-term relationship was very much what I thought love should be. And I loved my partner, but I never was in love. Mm-hmm. Whereas you, I was utterly captivated and charmed and enticed and just utterly, utterly in love. And I think also there was an exotic thing for me, which I think is a pattern in my life. I seem to enjoy falling in love with men in far-flung places. And we had a long distance.
Far-flung as, like, Germany, right?
Well, Bristol, you say that from your cynical place that you're sat there now. But actually, 19 years ago, it was quite exotic to have a long-term relationship with a boyfriend in Germany, between Bristol and Germany. But I also remember the bit I want to bring people to is I remember when we were going to a particular Tantra weekend, and I was on, I'm always impressed by German trains when I look at what we've been given in England as our public transport system. That's another topic. But I remember I was on super fast German train and it was parallel to this river and the sun was shining on the water and it was like there were diamonds sparkling and sparkling. And I just fell completely in love with the sparkles, with the river. And I was just like, wow, this is so beautiful. So, so beautiful. And I remember being with you, I felt so beautiful. And, you know, for me, Tantra changed my whole perspective and how I saw the world at that point. And it was a real 180 degree turn change from how I was seeing life before. And all of that came from, you know, the tantric practices that we were doing, the processing that we were doing, the erotic energy and staying in erotic energy for days, weeks. Yeah. You know, we had a thing about, is it no coming or no ejaculation? And so you would hold that energy and that frequency would open up this bliss, this joy, this like just enchanting way to see the world. And I think that most people don't even know that that is possible.
Yes.
I've talked a lot. I've said a lot there.
This is the ideal way to get into this topic because, you know, like you, I talked about this in a different episode, how Tantra absolutely blew my mind at that point. And so the amazing thing for me about Tantra has always been how many, many different layers and levels of experiences it can open up. So for those of you, dear listeners, who, you know, who have listened to other episodes, you know how I, in one of those very workshops, actually fell into this state of, you know, I didn't know what it was at the time, but later it was a full-on mystical state that lasted for more than 2 weeks, basically. But also at the same time, you can fall into a state that is just complete ecstatic connection with the world. And that's what I refer to when we say technicolor, because that state actually is pretty easy to reach through tantric practice, other than, you know, this completely enlightenment-like state, which is slightly, it takes a lot more more practice. But what I think it's really important for this episode today is that just some tantric practice can get you into a state where your life moves out of the grayscale into technicolor. I'm not saying that all of your lives In the grayscale. I'm just saying that it feels as if someone had moved your life from a grayscale to something that is super colorful. And this is something that basically almost all of our course participants, whether it's a weekend or anything report, don't they?
I want to move and talk now about the festival.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are this year, 2025, time of recording, we are doing the 13th Tantra Love Festival. And I have to say that those 5 days, the way that you and I set up the event, I am particularly focused on if I can help these men fall in love with each other, and that doesn't mean you need to have erotic connections, but it means a intimacy, it means an ecstasy, it means not operating in the way that people typically operate, let me say, like in a typical grinder thing. Like most people are dissatisfied with the connections that they have on Grindr, like the people that they meet. And it's like, well, they're still people. So it's like, what is it that people are dissatisfied with? But at the festival, our focus, my focus, is to help them fall in love with each other. And then there's like a 24-hour period as people like adjust their frequency to that possibility. But once they get it, there's a magic. People are hugging everywhere. People fall in love with each other. They have a mini fling for 20 minutes in the hot tub and then maybe don't see that person again. And there's real joy and there's real love and there's real bliss. And there's a whole juicy vibrancy to the frequency of the field that we create. And in each and every man that is there.
And that creates a whole sense of possibility. Yes. I was always blown away of this living in a sense of possibility that the world actually offers so much and it's so colorful. And via, as you say, you know, being in this... In these workshops, we play with possibilities and people's mind gets blown by, oh, I can actually do so, so many things. I don't have to hold myself back. I can experience so many forms of intimacy with all the other men here. And that does something to your beingness, to your way your mind approaches life. You slowly, and it just takes a few days, there's a sense of possibility almost in everything. And then this is part of this switch to Technicolor. And then when you go back to your so-called normal life, you have retrained parts of your mind to see your normal life from that perspective. And that's part of this process of moving from the grayscale to Technicolor. But as you say, the best way to open this up, the sense of possibility, is to play with other men, right? Like it's something like the festival. All of a sudden, like, wow, there are so many ways that I can play with others. And they're open for it. They won't reject me. I've just missed all of these possibilities, you know, and I realize then when I'm in there, wow, there are so many ways to play, and I have just... until now, I just didn't see these possibilities, that they were always there. I just need a few tools, tantric tools, to build intimacy, to connect, and that's what we teach. And once we then use these tools when connecting with others, like all of these possibilities just open in a very real way, and you can have so much fun, you know.
I want to talk. I'm leading on from what you're saying. I want to talk about my first experience. Of a multi-orgasmic massage. And I think that one of the turning your life into Technicolor, there's a few things that you need to let go of.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things I needed to learn or to let go of, I'm not quite sure, was that I needed to find the other person attractive to be in my erotic energy. And then cue doing my first multi-orgasmic massage received it. I think I shrieked the room down for about 2 hours.
I think many people did. I remember sometimes, even when we do it nowadays, but certainly back in the days, I remember one group back in the days that, you know, there were particularly, the people were particularly like energetic and just going for it. And it was loud and it was raunchy, but in such a sweet, beautiful, inclusive, connected way. And this is what keeps happening when we go into this practice, these practices with the group.
But one of the things I had to let go of was, one, we had a blindfold on, so I didn't know who was doing that to me, and people moved around. And actually, it wasn't really even important, because it was an inward journey. And the practice was to follow the sensations. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, when I, up to that point, I'd only ever had sex in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And I would say my sex in my 20s wasn't that great. I think when I was 19, 20, I didn't come out till I was 19. Really confusing childhood, messy sexual abuse stuff, confusion. Mm-hmm. Blah. And then 19, I sort of like came out. And I would say my sex from the age of 19, probably to my early 30s, wasn't amazing. It wasn't, it's particularly my early 20s. I never really actually enjoyed sex. Mm-hmm. And then throughout my 20s, in my relationship, it was, sex felt functional. Mm-hmm. And it felt okay, but there was that. And that was a metaphor for, I think, my life at that point. I spent 10 years in a relationship that was somebody with alcohol issues. Oh, God. And we were trying to be monogamous because that's what we thought we should be.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yet, you say, oh, God.
Yet, I guess, sex in that monogamous relationship was probably not very satisfying.
Well, it lasted about 2 minutes.
God.
And it wasn't really... I don't know if I've said this before in a previous podcast. I was so sexually frustrated. We didn't have sex for 2 years. I was so sexually frustrated. I made 2,000 candles, and they got more and more dramatic in their designs the more sexually frustrated I got. And so fast forward, and then, oh, God, yeah, just awful. And also pre-Grindr days, because that's how old I am, people didn't necessarily meet for sex online, like hookups.
Yeah.
They met in other places. And those experiences, none of them were really, really great. I did have one hot love affair with Mr. Bristol, who was muscly and fit and fulfilled all my daddy fantasies. And I used to have hot sex with him. But even that, at times, I didn't really know how to enjoy sex. And I think, again, you know, I've said before and I'll say again, if it happens in your sex, it happens in your life, and vice versa. And I think all of that was also a metaphor for my experience of life. Mm-hmm. Life wasn't great. It was meh, but I didn't know it was meh. I just thought that's how life was meant to be. But at my tender age now, looking backwards, mm-hmm. I can see how I settled for life. And when I then met Tantra and had my first multi-orgasmic experience, it kind of internally shot me through to the stars, mm-hmm. and was just, I was without words. I was speechless at the experience. I was so incredibly just like, it's like somebody came along and just like universally whacked me. And then, as I said, you know, in the days, weeks and months afterwards, those years when, do you remember we had our Tantra peer group?
Yes.
There was just a whole, I mean, that period of time was so enchanting, so beautiful, so innocent, so sweet, so delicious.
Yeah, dear listeners, what we did was we, you know, we had this Tantra peer group. In the end, I think it was between 15 and 20 people, and we met, I think, 3 times per year somewhere in a log cabin, sometimes in the German Alps or somewhere in France or wherever, and did Tantra together for a weekend. Mm. And it was just this very this very close group of friends and the sense of fun and the sense of exploration together. Yeah.
And the shared hobby.
Magic. More than a hobby, I would almost say a kind of vision, but a magical time.
And it was a great grounding for you and me to learn how to start presenting Tantra.
Yes.
And start practicing doing workshops with a group of guinea pigs as we move things through. Mm-hmm. But I just remember that moment, that was hugely pivotal to the next 19, soon to be 20 years of my life. Mm-hmm. Where I feel today that I live more of a life that I want to. Mm-hmm. My understanding of spirituality has evolved a lot. And there's been a huge amount of myth busting in those 19 years of what spirituality is and what it isn't. But what I don't want to take away from is those early years in Tantra where the whole world just looks like it's in Technicolor. I remember somebody putting on their feedback form from the diploma. You may know that. It says they had this amazing week and then they went into their office, their corporate office in London the next day, and they hugged Janet from finance.
Yeah.
And that just absolutely made me piss myself laughing, because what Tantra does is it cuts through all of the structures and all of the projections and all of the constructs of the way that we've designed life to be. And it offers a radical new perspective that is joyous, abundant, juicy, fun, sexy, spiritual. It's all of those things you ever wanted your life to be is there in the practice of Tantra.
Yes, I would say that, you know, at the very, very, very basis of that experience, for me personally, and I think that's true for many people, is when you start Tantra, you all of a sudden realize that there is an infinite amount of incredible experiences to be had just by using your body. Experiences that come from within you, experiences that you can have by experiencing sensations and so on. And this kind of infinity, I'm like, wow, life is becoming enchanted again. There is this bottomless repertoire of things that are accessible to me and that I can go and experience, and they are so fascinating. I think this comes from a psychotherapist whose name I don't remember. They speak about re-enchantment. Mm-hmm. How do you bring re-enchantment into your life? And for me, Tantra was that. And the opposite of that, what I always say we need to get behind this, is what I call jadedness. How can we get from jadedness to re-enchantment? Jadedness is the sense that you have done it all, you have seen it all, there's almost nothing more to be had, you can have it all, and therefore nothing is really worth anything anymore. This kind of nagging sense of is this all there is to life? This nagging sense, this is jadedness. It's not quite depression or something like that, but I think this is something that many, many people, you know, I certainly could, before I came to Tantra, relate to this, because you're in a rut, you are in a routine. It's like, is this going to stay like this for the rest of my life? I've got my job, I've got my family, I've got this and that, I live in this place. And this is a kind of, from a tantric perspective, this has nothing to do with the reality. It's actually just a construct, a perspective, a mind perspective, and not a useful one. And Tantra replaces this by something else. And I would say re-enchantment, in which you perceive world as in, as I said, an infinite succession of really, really amazing experiences.
For me, what I loved you just said there was this jadedness. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really beautiful way of describing, because I think people arrive at our doorstep feeling, especially men typically in their 40s, feel like a slight jadedness. They've done their 20s, they've done their 30s. There's a dissatisfaction, I'm talking generally, you know, complete broad brushstroke, but there's a general dissatisfaction, I think, in people's mid, late 30s, which makes them want to seek out more. And that's where people typically arrive on our doorstep, you know, in their in their early 40s. Jadedness for me is a mind activity. It's trapped in the mind. And I think one of the reasons why Tantra offers this technicolor is because it has to be experienced in the now, in the body. Like, the jadedness is always looking in the past. It's always looking at what has been and what was, and that actually the now moment is not there. Whereas Tantra's in the body, there's nothing more immediate than the sensations in your body that are happening right now. And for that to overtake or override the jadedness that can happen. And I think that is one of the reasons why Tantra offers a technicolor. The other thing I think is that Tantra offers you the possibility to realize all of the dreams and all of the fantasies you ever had, to actually make them happen. So I think, you know, in today's world, and I know there's surveys out there, that people feel more isolated, more on their own, more, you know, look at the pandemic, look at home working. Is it, there's, you know, raging statistics of people working from home. They can go through their life only seeing people through their screens, through their digital devices, and not having human physical contact. And I think this then amplifies this jadedness that you talk about. And I think it is a way, it keeps people safe, because I think people feel shy or embarrassed meeting new people. And then they have the courage to sign up for a Tantra workshop.
Yeah.
And at that moment, there's a huge possibility for something different to happen. And, you know, as we've seen many times, people will come to a weekend and be with us a decade or so later, exploring the many different multi-facets of the practice of Tantra.
Completely. And then... and then afterwards, people, we have this again and again and again and again. And then they go home and they feed back to us, I didn't know that life could look like this. It really feels like switching from gray to technicolor. Everything is so, so new and so fresh. And I'm like, well, this is part of this spiritual practice. It's like, how about if the world just arose as completely new and completely fascinating, and with this sense of the unknown and the fascination that arises out of that. And if you, Tantra actually brings you to a state where you experience yourself like that, because the more you do these tantric exercises that actually transform the way that you perceive your body, the more you do these, the more you realize that there's really an infinite amount of experiences to be had with and in your body, and especially then in connection with other guys and with other people. And once you realize that, it's like, wait a moment, if I am that, and if that potential is always with me because my body is always with me, then what does that mean for the way that I can live my life? And that is what I would call, it's a kind of empowerment. It's a kind of empowerment. Yeah.
The other thing I was reminded as you were talking, or the other thing I was reminded of, is how Tantra is in the now, and it is a choice. It's a real life decision, conscious decision, to want to live life in a way that is joyful, abundant. And it's like the only thing you need to do is to say yes and make the first step So the first step into a workshop and to follow through the weekend, the and also to trust the process, trust the people, trust the experience. That when you, it's like getting in a boat that doesn't have somebody on the rudder, but you're following the current of the river.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about exactly this. It's like, okay, what do I need to do to reach this? And I would say, in Tantra, the number one thing is practice. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't think your way into experiencing the world that way, but rather, Tantra offers a whole range of techniques, exercises to get you there. So the first thing is, this doesn't work without a minimum amount of commitment to commit to and be in that practice. The second component, I think, is community. Mm-hmm. Is to be in this field of people that lift you up and you have the same vision. You are basically, you know, many, many people from all kinds of walks of life come together in our tantric community and in any other tantric community that I know. But they have one thing in common, which is this empowerment, saying, I actually want to live my life from my full potential. I want to have the full experiences. And I'm going to bring this commitment where I throw myself into these practices. That doesn't mean that you have to like sign your whole life over to that. It just means that you have to follow these practices for a kind of minimum of things. And many people in our community, you know, do this. They come to a few weekends per year. That can be enough, actually, to have this very, very profound effect on your life.
I think most people may struggle to realize that they are responsible for the life that they want to have.
Exactly.
I think most people feel that life is done to them and that they have to make the best of what they've got.
That's itself an aspect of jadedness, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you say a bit more about that?
Yeah, the sense that you are, it's jadedness is, it has this disempowered aspect to it.
Yes.
In that I need to accept the way my life is happening to me.
Responsibility.
Yeah, instead of taking responsibility and saying, actually, I can actually be the agent of my own change. Well, I can create certain things.
And also I've seen people deeply desire what it is that Tantra is offering, but unwilling to make the commitment.
True.
And I feel so painful for those people. And I'm like, this could really, really, really give you everything that you want. Also, one thing we haven't talked about, as I'm just saying that, is Tantra is the super highway to deal with everything you haven't dealt with in your life. So you talked about jadedness, and also for me, people have a whole range of experiences in life, whether that's traumas, disappointments, life not being the way it is, feeling that life is done to you, and not realizing that actually they could take the reins of their life. And I think one of the things that you do in Tantra is you learn to kind of ride the chariot of you and your life and the type of life you want to have.
Yeah.
And that also means that you need to face and deal with everything that's been holding you back. So I remember whilst I felt huge amounts of technicolor and bliss and ecstasy, I also felt the opposite. I felt the dark chasms of grief, abandonment, trauma, harm, so much. And, you know, given the experiences in my childhood, I actually arrived at Tantra probably quite traumatized.
Yes.
By the experiences I've had. And I also think, as I'm talking to you, I think also people will arrive at Tantra not even aware that they have stuff to look at, traumas that may have happened. They're so buried and so deep and so entrenched in people's psyche that they've become normalized. And actually, it's like bubbles rising. Tantra will bring those up, and suddenly somebody's hit with something that they didn't even know that they had as a problem.
Well, there's this other metaphor that you know that sits in with this Technicolor metaphor. Technicolor means full spectrum.
Yes.
Full spectrum. Yes. From light to darkness.
I like this, what you're
saying.
But
the other metaphor is the one that I think I bring that always, because it has, you know, it has stood up to the test of time. It's this thing of the surfer. It's like the change of awareness is you all of a sudden realize that now you're actually a surfer on the waves of life, whereas before you have only been sitting on the beach and watched the waves, but you have not really been surfing them. Well, surfing the waves means surfing the highs and the lows and really, really experiencing those. And the question is that the life you want? By hindsight, I don't think I have met a single person who has said, I prefer sitting on the beach to surfing. When you sit on the beach, it's like, oh, that sounds intense, right? But when you are on it, it's like, whoa, I'm just so much more connected to life. And before, it just felt partly a cut off, just an observer, instead of really being in it and part of it. And yes, some people think they just want to be an observer. But I think once you have experienced this really, really being a seamless part of this amazing flow of life, then you don't want to go back, despite it being, you know, surfing the waves, which includes the highs and the lows.
Well, and it then comes back to this thing about the fullness of life.
Yeah.
And when you're sat, you know, in your last day of life and you look back, you know, how do you want to remember your life? Did you live it in full gear and full in every fullest way possible? Or did you live a life that you never did? I'm reminded of a joke one of my friends in Bristol once said, it's better to have been a has-been than a never was. It's better to have been a has-been than a never was. And I think what he was meaning by that is, it's better to have gone and done everything in life.
Yeah.
Fuck everybody's judgments. Fuck your insecurities.
Completely.
Fuck your shame. Fuck everything that holds you back. Mm-hmm. And just fucking step in and do it. But the but is I think you still need to work through the psychology of all those bits that hold you back. But actually to understand the illusion of those and the trap of those thoughts that keep you stuck, keep you small and keep you diminished. And again, I come back to Tantra being political. I don't think society, governments want you to be free.
No.
I think what they want you to do is to be employed, contributing to the economy and paying taxes. And
compliant,
that is not freedom.
Compliant to whatever they come up with.
Yes. They want you to pay taxes, do as you're told, retire. It's like there's nothing in life, unless you go and find it, that teaches you how to do life. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you leave school, maybe you go to university, you go and get a job, you pay taxes, you know. And then I remember when I first started work at the tender age of 17. I remember going into the office and there were people that had worked there for 40 years. And I was like, oh my God, what a waste. And I never said anything. And obviously
and
I was
judging.
And they
work in something like administration.
Well, no, they would
deal
things like securities or stocks. Or
they
would be like chief cashier where they'd been for 20 years. And these people, again, no judgments, very beautiful people, but they were so entrenched in the identity of who they were and their conditioning and how life had brought them to their point, that I don't think there was any consideration of any other possibility. Mm-hmm. And so everybody existed in a structure of what they thought everyone should be, what the societal demands were of that time. And nobody dared to dream or think differently that there was another possibility.
Well, the thing is, daring to dream.
Yes.
Needs, what are you dreaming about? So most people have not had the experience that their inner self is infinite.
Yes.
They haven't. They don't know anything else.
Yes.
So to have that almost inserted into your dream, you need to trigger an experience of infinity like that. And that's what Tantra does in the very beginning.
Yes.
But I wanted also to comment on something else that you said. Then I wanted to go back then. Once you are in the Technicolor, in the riding the wave, you said you need to get to terms with the psychological stuff that then will bubble up. And I would say you very, very much need, during that time, a teacher and/or spiritual friends, a community that is like, you know, that helps you make sense of these things that come up. But the last thing that I wanted to say to this is, because this relates to these two metaphors, Technicolor is full spectrum, but behind there it's all aspects of light.
Yes.
In the same way, surfing the waves, full spectrum, up and down and up and down. But behind there, as a surfer, there's the ocean and there's the sense of infinity, and you are actually being carried by this infinity. And because there is this underlying thing in that, I think this is one reason why so many people, why no one has told me yet they want to go back from living their life like that, although it's intense and you need to look at your stuff and you need to work things through and so on. But there's something in it that is so unique that it's an extraordinary way of living, and you live in that extraordinariness.
Yes. Two things I'm reminded of as you're talking. One is, you talked about the psychology, and I think this is why, with my therapeutic background, we developed this thing called spiritual inquiry as a method to make sense of the experiences that you're having in Tantra and to integrate those with your psychology, with your mind.
Yes.
And to that the mind, because the mind needs to come along for the journey. You can't divorce your mind. You can't chop it off. You can't, you have to like work with it and let it work through and let it realize, make its own realizations. And the last thing I also wanted to say, you talked about seeing life in full Technicolor and all the ups and downs. So I used to work in my first or second job. So I worked for Lloyd's Bank back in
back when computers
I'm so
didn't
old
exist,
I remember the day the computers arrived at the branch, like the desktops, and we were like so amazed at that. But also devices, that was my second place that I worked
that
for 4 years.
In rural southwest England.
Really rural farms, small town, market days. And I remember that the brewery, Wadworth's, used to still draw their beer around with horse-drawn carts. And the horses used to wear these blinkers, and they could only ever see 10% of what was in front of them. And that's why horses go forward, because actually all they can see is what's in front of them. And for me, this is a fascinating metaphor for how most people live life. And I think what Tantra does is it removes these blinkers so that you see all of life. But even when you think you've perceived all of everything, there's whole new dimensions and realizations. It just it's like the universe still keeps expanding. Your awareness, your understanding always keeps expanding and growing.
Yeah.
So Ingo, here we are getting towards the end. We talk about Tantra as a spectacular technicolor. Listen, we've got ways for you to come and change your life.
Yes, well, dear listener,
come to the festival.
If you feel that, you know, we have been really, really talking to you and that something is igniting and you don't quite know what to do with it,
come to the festival.
Come to the festival, which is in over the August bank holiday
in Glastonbury,
August
UK.
2025.
Yes,
and the Brother event in the US
is in upstate New York in October, first week of October.
Yes,
it's like if you want to change your life to Technicolor and you like everything we're saying, come and dip your toe in the tantric pool and try it out. Also, we're doing weekends and we have longer retreats.
Yeah.
You can find all of those details on our website.
But to start with, do this festival, because also you're going to meet an amazing community.
Yes, really. Ingo, thank you. We've enjoyed today. Enjoyed reminiscing our early days of Tantra. Thank you for being here. Thank you, dear listeners.
It's been amazing. Dear listeners, yeah, a huge hug to all of you.
And we will see you in the next podcast,
yes,
which, if we're still alive and the world is still here, we'll be recording here on Copenhagen. Okay, love you, baby.
Lots of love to you.
Thank
all.
You. Bye, sweetheart. So I really hope you've enjoyed today's podcast. Remember, if you want details of any of our events, you can find them on our website, tantraforgaymen.com. Details about the festivals, weekends, retreats are all on there. Other thing to say, if you're interested in joining our community, you can do that really easily, community.tantraforgaymen.com. And yeah, you can find us on YouTube and on our website too. Okay, look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Take care till then. Lots of love to you. Bye-bye.